for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, July the 5th, 2008. Angelo Rosero is the speaker of the service, teaching on what God is doing.
Praise be to God. In all glory and honor unto my Savior. I got one Savior. His name is Jesus. But I got many friends and many family, because we all breed out of one heart, and that is out of the heart of God. God has made an army of one, and that is the most powerful army in the world. An army that could take over any material army and any spiritual army. In God's army, there are no failures, and we could probably fall back on a battle, but we will never lose a war. Because the one that is with us is greater than the one that is in the world. And you and I have to start to believe and trust more in God than in ourselves. Many times we trust in what we think we know, and we don't trust in what we should know.
Right.
And the only thing that we should know, that there is someone that is greater than our thoughts and greater than who we are. And His name is Jesus. And He never left us alone. He gave us a helping hand. That when we are weak, then are we strong, because we dare to confide that there's no power on earth that could beat or win a battle.
Amen.
Against our Lord. He is our Savior. Many times we're thinking about salvation in the hereafter, but I'm thinking about the salvation in the here now. Because God has given us salvation. That means He has liberated us from all the difficulties of this world. But there's one problem that we have, if you only believe. Because to he that believes, all things are possible. I don't have to understand it. I just got to believe in Him. Someone that is greater than my thoughts, greater than anything I could ever understand. And that's how I believe that God allowed me to meet my brother Landry. When he called me on the phone, we kept talking on the phone and talking on the phone. And I don't make deals with anybody right away. You know what I mean? I really don't. I try to pray. I give respect to everyone. But as he kept talking to me, and we kept talking back, and we called back and forth. Sometimes he was on the road, and we call and we pray. God started to build a relationship in the spirit first, because I didn't know who he was. I never had my eyes to look upon who he is as an individual. But there's something that God unites, and it's the spirit. Through him, I met my father, Glenn. And I also say, while I'm here, he is my pastor too. I submit to him, to his authority, and to whatever the Lord has for us. I don't even know what I'm doing here. I really don't. I know that the Lord has said that he was going to continuously open up more doors, and he has continuously opened up doors. Doors that sometimes you are afraid to step through, because there are so many things there. As my brother was saying, with politicians and the mayor and the borough president and all the politicians, and for some reason my phone don't stop ringing in my office. My office is open from 9 o'clock in the morning sometimes to 10 o'clock at night, and phone calls come from all over, from people from all over the states to pray for prayer. Now I have other prayer warriors, and I'm setting up another office that we're going to set up so that they could have prayer there maybe 24 hours a day, where people could call up and don't hear a machinery. Here's this prayer. Believe and you're going to get healed. No, they're going to have a person right behind that phone. Someone that is going to be able to be sensitive to the need of the individual. But I want to talk to you today about what God is doing. I don't know which way to go. I got a message, but I'm going to try to let the Spirit move in our lives. Because, you know, 1959, God saved me. You know, God in His infinite mercy, my mother never knew that I was a gang leader. I'm the oldest of 7 brothers and 2 sisters. In the Bronx, there were a lot of gangs at the time in the 50s, late 50s. And we grew up gangs to be able to defend each other from different races. Italians, Irish, blacks, Hispanics. Hispanics and blacks wasn't too many in the area where we were. The majority were Italian. So there was a fight all the time. But something happened because even when I was lost, God was there. The Lord was keeping me. In 1958, God started to unite me instead with my Hispanic friends and black friends with all the Italians that were in the neighborhood. They became my friends. They became actually family because some of my family got married into the families. And God started to unite us, and I was a peacemaker between the blacks and the Hispanics and the Italians and the Irish. For some reason, God was preparing me. He was preparing me. I didn't know. God has a sense of humor. Yeah. How does He prepare you so that you could be a peacemaker without knowing that you were going to work for the Prince of Peace? How He started to move and got me in connection with all these different Italian families all over the Bronx and all over Manhattan and Brooklyn, and sometimes millions of dollars in a trunk that I had to deliver up to Florida. But God was there. And you know what? They were good to me. Some of them have converted and given their life over to God. Some of them are ministers today. God is a great God. And some of them were of the black generation that was there. Today they call them African American. They used to call them Spics in Spanish. And today they call them Puerto Ricans. I don't know what's going on. Names keep changing every day. But there's one name that doesn't change. His name is Jesus. Jesus was always Jesus, Savior. Jesus never had a race, but the human race. And gave His life for the human race. Because He saw that there was an enemy trying to destroy the human race that He had created. And He built a foundation. And He called people in the different times. There's a shift in there. Something is changing in these last days. God is knocking down those barriers of denomination. He's coming into every denomination. Because there are other sheep that have to be brought over. God, in His infinite mercy, has come to set captives free. Before I came here, I was in, up at Bear Mountain. They invited me to go to speak for Mr. Sun Yang-moon. You know who Mr. Sun Yang-moon is? That was him. And they said, "Are you going?" I said, "You know what? If God asks me to go to hell to preach, I would go. If He asks me. Not nobody else. But wherever God opens up the door, I'm going to say there is one Savior, one Lord, one God." And there must have been about maybe 95 Koreans, Japanese, Chinese, Muslims, Jews, Christians. And they asked me to be the speaker for the day. They came and picked me up. The driver, Korean, he couldn't speak hardly any English. But what a blessing he had in. God gave us a message of unity. And also gave me a message of destroying the Godhead of this world. You know who he is? Not Sun Yang-moon, Satan. Because we don't have any battle against flesh and blood. We have a battle against principalities. Well, you know what? I'm not going to talk to you right now for a little bit, for a couple of minutes. But you can listen. I want to talk to those spirits that are around us, that are trying to bring destruction to us and bring confusion to us. I want to talk to those spirits that want to bring suicide thoughts into your mind. I want to talk to those spirits that have been disturbing your family and taking them down. I want to talk to them. But again, you can listen. And you can believe that God has given you the authority to break their stronghold upon your family. That God has set you free already. That you are already free by faith in the Lord that has set you free. You don't get to ask for no more victory. Victory is in your hand because the living God is with you. But I want to talk to those spirits. I want to serve them notice that they don't have no more authority over you. The only authority that I have is the authority that you allow them to have. I want you to know. And I want them to know that in this moment, right now, by the finger of God, they got to get out. They got to get out. By the finger of God, they can't stay here and continue to harass you. Because it's a new day. There ain't no more denomination or religion. There's only a God that is real, and He is being manifested in our lives. We heard it this afternoon. God's glory is here. Why do we ask for something that we already have? Why don't we believe it? Why do we preach about greater is He that is in us and we don't practice it? The Word of God is alive. It is alive for us. And we don't have any denomination since Christ came to this world. Denomination was broken. The Lord said that we will serve Him in spirit and in truth. We use that verse so loosely all the time. It's like poetry flowing through our mouths. But do we believe what we say? Do we trust in what we're saying? Do we really understand that they're not just words, that they are realities from God? That greater is He that is in us, and that we serve Him in spirit and in truth. You see, you have a power in your hands, in your little finger. You got more power than what the devil has. Because God said that you will lay your hands upon the sick and they will heal. And that you will cast out demons in His name. And in your hands you got five little fingers that you could use on top of them. And you could use even the pinky and cast them out in the name of Jesus. But you got to dare to believe. That when something evil gets you or comes around you, don't stand there. Tell it to go.
That's right.
Tell it to take your hands off me. You're not supposed to touch me. Matter of fact, you can't touch me. And if you touch me, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue you. And I got the judge of judges. His name is Jesus.
Hey, come on, man.
And you're going to have to pay the price. And you're going to have to pay big. You know, when you sue somebody, you don't sue them for $10. You want a couple of $1 million. We have that power, that authority. We want to be preached to every day. Every day we want to be chased around. I stop praying for my people in my church. I stop laying hands on them. You know what I tell them? God gave you two good hands. Thank God for them. Anoint your hands and let your hands be laid on top of your head, on top of your chest, on top of your children, and everything that you have. Lay them on your car. Take your money, throw it on the floor, lay it on your money, and pray and ask for your finance to be set loose. In whose name?
Jesus.
Do you know Him? In whose name?
Jesus.
In whose name?
Jesus.
I'm telling you, there's power in that name. You don't even got to come to the church to bother me to pray. I don't even have to make an altar call. The Word of God should be powerful enough to set you free. And if it ain't powerful enough, look, Jesus, all He done was said the Word. The Word went out, and it done what it was supposed to do. But we're playing church. We're playing church, and I like my church to be full. Because I like to be able to create warriors. I don't want puppets in my church. See, I don't like to pump hallelujahs, because when I pump hallelujahs, like if I'm pulling somebody's string. So I got puppets. Say a hallelujah. Say an amen. I don't need it. If I ain't saying nothing right, don't say nothing. And if I'm saying something that makes sense, sit there nice and quiet and listen. And don't bother me. I don't need your help to preach. I need the help of the Holy Spirit to preach. You ain't going to be able to help me preach this gospel. Because if there was no one here, I would still preach. And on the wings of the air, that word will go out. But in the book of Matthew's, Chapter 10. Yeah, you went there yesterday. You went there yesterday. But I'm going to leave that verse 1 for later on.
Amen.
But I just want to drop down to verse 6 of Matthew 10. You know what the title of this message is today? It's His Word, not mine.
Amen.
It's His Word, not mine. And because it's not my word, so I'm going to put, it is His Word. I don't have to name it. It is His Word that is talking to you. It is His idea. It is His thought. It is His feeling that I want to communicate to you. My ideas don't count because I don't have any. I barely know how to speak English. In Spanish, I'm forgetting it. So pretty soon I'll be speaking in sign language. But even if that would come to pass, there's going to be power in the sign language. And the demons are going to have to flee because we have victory. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, we are the new Israel of the Lord. And the Lord is talking that in His house, in His people, in those generations, they were lost. The church today is lost. The church is falling apart. It's crumbling. The mercy of God is still trying to keep it together. But the house of the Lord is in decay. It is like when the temple was in decay and they had it restructured. But today, you and I are the house of God. We are the temple of the living God. It is no more the building, the edifice that we have. It is your body. Because you become the temple of the living God. And if you are the temple of the living God, and God is living in you, there must be power. There must be greatness inside of you. Something that generates, that But you're afraid to talk to him back. You take all the junk that he sends. That's why I stopped taking his junk. I'm still fighting. But you know what? I stopped taking his junk. Why? Because God put something in me to become a warrior. To be able to fight. I'm learning to clean what? My rifle. I don't want to die like everybody else that was laying down, as Chip said the other day. I want to have that rifle. If I'm going down, I'm going down fighting. But I'm going down to get back up. Because in God, there are no dead soldiers. In God, when they think you're dead, it's when you're alive. Because you will be alive never to die again. You have an eternal life. But the lost sheep of Israel, Jesus came and spoke to them. And Jesus today, through His Spirit, is speaking to His people. The sheep, who are we? We are not being taken care of. We're being abused in every area. And we are allowing the devil to abuse us. And when he abuses us, he abuses our family. He abuses our children. Because he will rob your joy, your peace. He will take from you everything that you have and leave you naked. You see, naked is a wonderful thing. Some people say that nakedness is a state of sexuality. Other people in God's glory were dressed with his dressing. And he has put his glory upon us. But when we're the fallen man, it becomes a different type of nakedness. We have lost then his glory. You know what that means? We lost his blessings. We lost the power. We lost the knowledge. We lost the understanding. And having it all in front of us, inside of this beautiful book, we're still lost. We don't know how to read the map. We got to take this map and read it in prayer. And we got to know how to use this weapon. Because you could kill yourself with your own weapon. Did you know that? And if someone doesn't know how to lead, I had a sergeant when we were in the service. I would follow that man to the end of the world. Sergeant Petito, God bless him, wherever he's at. Why? Because he knew how to fight. But they sent us a new lieutenant. And I tell him, I ain't following you. I'd rather shoot you than follow you. Because you're going to kill us all. Because he didn't know anything about the field. He didn't know anything about the area he was in.
That's right, bro.
And he looked at me like I was crazy. You know what he called me? You're a crazy Puerto Rican. And I said, but I'm a live one. I don't want to be a dead one. I want to be a live believer. I don't want to be a dead believer. A dead believer cannot help my children. A dead believer cannot take care of this beautiful, wonderful, gorgeous woman that God gave me. Because it's a gift. God gave us weapons so that we could fight. But look at the condition of the house of Israel. A chosen people. And we are a priesthood unto the Lord. Thank you for calling me Rabbi. Because that's a gift. That's a teacher. That's a man of God. In every area, God has made different manifestations. When I'm walking down the street and sometimes the Lord told me to put on my clergy collar and I didn't want to put it on. But how are the people going to know that there's a priest in the community? I don't have a stamp on my head. They will look at me and they say, oh, that Puerto Rican's coming down the street. But when they see the collar on, and I tell them, the collar doesn't make the man. It's God that makes the man. But they could identify, and when they have a need, they stop me on the street. They stop me on the train. They stop me on the bus. And they ask me questions. At 9/11, I told my ministers, my women ministers, to put on the clergy collar and walk around. They were in a restaurant meeting, and the people would come up to their table and ask them, what's going on? And they had a chance to tell them, we are living in the end time. But fear not, God is with us. And God is protecting us. It gives you a moment to witness.
Amen.
Not to criticize. There's a difference. Many times we want to witness criticizing, but not giving the word. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Isn't that amazing? The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is here where? On earth. But in here it says the kingdom of God is in your hands. The power of God is in your hands. God has put in your hands the ability to make a difference. You see, with your hands you can plow and let something grow. And you can plant something, blessed be God. With your hands you can build a house. And God has a house, a mansion for us. And you can build a house and then you can protect it with the into your house. Kingdom of God is in your hands. What are you looking for? Why do you run and go to Pastor Rosario and say, help me? You got the tools in your hands. God has already given you the tools. And all you have to do is learn how to use them. And let me say this. You don't become an expert overnight. But every day that you practice it, you become better and better in it. Go preach. Why would you preach that there's a living God and you don't believe in Him? Why would you preach that there is a God that has redeemed you? Redeem you from what? When you get to heaven, you ain't going to have none of these problems that are here. The victory is for here. The overcoming is for here. You have that now. What would overcome this world? Our faith. And who? And Jesus. Why? Because He overcame all the obstacles that He went through in this life. See, He had to face the devil, right? In Matthew 4, we taught that the other day. And He had victory. And He said that the victory that He has, we have it also. And you know what amazes me and called my attention? He said that we have more victory than He does. Pastor, how can you say that? That's a blasphemy. But He said greater things than what He has done, we will do in whose name? In His name. God has put that in us. Oh, man of little faith. If we only believe, we could tell a mountain to move. The devil has no more power. He can't tell a mountain to move. Did you know that? He can't move mountains. He could blow them up, but he can't move them. You know why? Because God put them there. And the reason that we have a battle, it is because he can't stand who you are. Whether you're saved or not saved, the devil hates you. Because you have an image of the Lord. And every time he looks around, he sees that God created you. You know, every time he looks at the animals, he can't stand them because God created them. Every time he looks at nature, he gets mad. He gets angry inside. That's why nature cried out to be liberated also. Why? Because God created it. And he can't destroy it because the only one that could burn it and do whatever he wants is God. And then he'll rebuild it again. You have a power. He can't even stand himself. You know why? Because he knows who created him. And he has to answer to him. The demons can't even stand themselves and they hate us because they see God in us. Because the demons got to remember who created, because the devil can't create anything. So we have a war, but we have power. And he tells us, go and preach. You know what that is? Go tell someone that there's hope and glory in Jesus. Go tell someone that they have the power. See, a lot of people carry the checkbook, but they don't go to the bank with it. And all they got to do is sign it. Jesus Christ. And you go to the bank and you get your money. And all you got to do is use God's power. Power of resurrection. He said, go and resurrect the dead. Go heal the sick. You see, there, we always say, oh, yeah, there's spiritual dead people that we have to resurrect. We don't even talk about that. We're thinking about physical death. The Lord could resurrect them too. Because he creates miracles. But we are able to go and resurrect someone that is spiritually dead. And arise them and tell them, Lazarus, come on out. Why would I want to raise? Listen, there are people that are in bondage there. They're inside the tomb with a stone put in front of them. The devil has them locked up in there. One day you and I were in that condition. We were blind. We could not see. We could not talk. We were there and not knowing which way to go and what to do. How to set ourselves free. Because you can't set yourself free. You got a Savior that's going to set you free. His name is who? Jesus. I'm always amazed when God says, remove the stone. You know, there are things that you got to do. And all you got to do is believe. And when you can't believe, ask the Lord, help my unbelief. And God will come through His Spirit and start to help our unbelief. He will teach us not to play church. Not just to come to church and say, hallelujah, glory to God. We go home and come back the next day, lay hands on me again. And come back the following day, lay hands on me again. And come back the following day, lay hands on me again. And by the time we come to finish laying hands, I have calluses on my hand. And we're still in the same condition. Because the one that sets us free is God. When your faith is put into action. When you start to believe. When you start to talk to yourself. And talk to your children. You see, I marvel at people that talk to themselves. I like people that talk to themselves. They're crazy, right? They're crazy. Well, I'm crazy too, but I talk to myself a lot. I love laying down and talking to the Lord. Sometimes I make out that I'm asleep in the bed. And I'm really, when I'm talking to myself. I'm not moving my mouth, but I'm talking to myself. How wonderful thou art, Jesus. Your glory is right here, Lord. And I start to see and meditate in the glory of God. As I went, Clement said this morning about people that can be quiet. I said, you know, you're right. I practice that so much because I'm afraid to hear my own voice. It may mess up everything. And I'm trying to just keep my mouth closed. And I close my eyes even in my bed. And I'm saying, and I can stay there for hours. Or I could go into the bathroom. I love taking a bath and be quiet and just let the water rush upon me. And I start to pray and meditate. And I feel rivers of living water coming down. And I feel the power of God. When I get out of there, I'm a new person. I walk on air. And I walk on water. Did you know that? Because the atmosphere is filled with water. The moisture, I walk on it. Preach the word. Don't preach religion and denomination. Cut it off because you are serving God in spirit and in truth. And if I offend somebody with this, I want to offend you. If religion and denomination was to save the world, this world would be a paradise, wouldn't it? Religion and denomination is a demon. It is a demon that is destroying the human race. He said, go and preach that I have come to set the captives free. When Jesus came, there were thousands of denominations and religions and a cult already born. And the world was in chaos. The ones that were chosen by God to bring the teaching had fallen apart. The children of Israel had allowed themselves to be filled of demonology. They were killing each other. The 12 tribes that were there, I mean, said 13. So I went into the Bible and I saw there's 13. So I got an education. Each one of them tribes had a different belief. Did you know that some of them believed in angels and some didn't? Some believe in resurrection and some didn't. It is the same thing that we have all around us. Different lines of thoughts. I've gone to different classes and different seminars to try to learn and institutes and this to hear the philosophy. And it's always so different. And you know what then, Eva? The revelation of Jesus. How the Spirit leads us into love. What did Christ tell us to go preach? Love. You know how wonderful it is? Everyone has a battle. Oh, they don't look like me. I love that. But I always say no one looks like me. There's no one upon God's green earth that looks as handsome, as beautiful as I am. And you could call that pride. You could call it whatever you want. But I'm never find myself. I ain't calling myself ugly even if I was the ugliest man alive. Makes no difference. Because God created me and God don't make junk. What God makes is beautiful. I may be a little ugly, but I got beautiful legs. I ain't going to show you. Leave that alone. Go and preach. Preach the good news that you have authority and power. Why do we allow the spirits to chase us when we are supposed to be chasing them? Why do we stand and say the devil is always attacking my mind, attacking my house? I'm going to attack him back. This ain't your mind. This is my mind. Get your hands off. Get away. Don't even talk to me. Don't even whisper in this ear because this ear is mine. And all it wants to hear is hear the voice of God. Those that have ears, listen to what the Spirit says to the church. And if you don't have one, let me know. I'll lend you one because I got two. So that you may be able to listen to the Word of God. Because there are some people that don't have an ear. And you got to anoint your ears and ask, Lord, allow me to listen to your Word. Don't listen to what Pastor Rosario, Bishop Rosario, Archbishop Rosario, Dr. Rosario is saying. Forget about that man. That man's crazy. But you got to listen to the Word. Amen. And God will speak to your spirit so that you can be a spirit person. So that you become victorious. Because this war is a spiritual warfare. You cannot fight this in the flesh. Go and preach. Preach the Word. What Word? That God knew that you and I could not fight this world and the demons and the spirits that are out there in the flesh. So he said, I will send my spirit that will be with you, in you. And he will guide you to what? To all truth. Not some truth, to all truth. What is the truth? The truth of the living God that no one could take you down. That when you feel something going wrong, you got to start shifting. There's a shift in there. You know, when your budget is going bad, you got to readjust your finance. You got to cut somewhere in order to make it. And you can't wait till the last moment to start shifting everything around. Because God gave you common sense. God showed you that there's a problem and you got to start cutting somewhere. And I want to become a Jew. I'm a rabbi. You know why? A Jew is a wonderful person. A Jew believes in God and believes that God was going to send a Messiah. And he still believes because he's still waiting for a Messiah to come. Isn't that amazing? I have a lot of Jewish friends, rabbis. I just got an award for the 60th anniversary of Israel. 5 synagogues. And I was the only Christian believer there. And the rabbi and I, we got to talking. And he says to me, Jim, you're a different kind of minister. And I said, no, I'm not. And he says, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. And I said, no, I'm not. And then he said, why do you say that? And I said, because I'm a rabbi. And he looked at his eyes open up like that. And I said, because we have something in common that you probably don't understand. I believe that my Messiah already came. Jesus came to save us all. To save us from a spiritual decaying. You're waiting for a material man to appear to save you. But I tell you what, we're not going to argue about that right now. Because you're waiting for him, and I'm waiting for him to come back. He looked at me. I said, so let's work on that. We work on that unity so that the Spirit of God may be able to work in the heart. And that he could work in my heart and in their heart so that the false doctrines that are there may have to be removed through the Spirit of God because I can't do it. But if I give the word will never come back right. Preach the word. Heal the sick. And look, people are filled with cancer and diabetes. And we worry so much about this. These natural sicknesses that are there that the enemy is trying to destroy your body. Your body's going to die. Your body's going to die. You're going to get old. You're going to fall apart. And your days are numbered. It is already written. But your soul will never die. And the more you renew your soul, because the one that sinned it will die. But thank God that God came to what? Save my soul. And when my soul is healed, and when I am serving God in spirit and in truth, something happens. You know what happens? Even your body starts to heal. Even your hair starts to shine. Even your eyes start to glow. And your blind eyes will start to heal. Because sin is dying in you so that you can continue to live. And your body becomes a temple unto God. But it doesn't live in your sinful body. It lives in your spirit. God deals with our spirit. But he gives a blessing for our flesh too. The other day I was praying and I asked the Lord, Lord, I don't want to get old anymore. My mother jokes with me a lot because she said I was to be afraid of two things in life. One was dying and the other one was getting old. I tell him one time, you know, somebody said it here the other day, I'm going to remove all the mirrors from my house. Because I feel warm, I feel strong, I feel young, I feel like I'm 25 years old. I feel good inside. But when I look at the mirror, it lies to me. So I don't look at that mirror anymore. I look at God's mirror, where God has given me a new body. He's given me a body that will never be sick ever again. He's given me a body that's going to be forever young. Isn't that amazing? Forever young. With the experience of life, but forever young. I'm going to look like the Lord. Because I'm going to be just like him. Because we are growing to be like him. But in the meantime, don't let the demons chase you no more. Don't let them talk to you no more. Don't let them tell you that you're going to die. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. No. When the day that you're going to die, it is written. And you're not going to die. Because everyone is born to die, but we die to live. And you and I, if we believe, not in religion, not in denomination, in Jesus, he will give us victory. He will give you the blueprints to your children so that you will be able to pray and bless your children and protect them. That you will be able to have the right words and know when to hug them and when to spank them. But don't abuse them. Don't abuse them because if you abuse them, God's going to abuse you too. Do not provoke them to anger. Provoke them to love. Provoke them to understanding. To understand them, you got to understand yourself that one day you and I were little children also. And that God is still working in us. Preach the gospel. Don't preach man's doctrine. Preach God's love. Unadulterated love. A love that covers multitudes of sin. A love that gives you understanding because you will go back home. And the demons will try to tell you something, but you'll listen to God's love. And God will put everything in its right place. You know, I love the Lord because of his mercy, his love. God said he delivered me. I was sitting there, and I do this quite often. I remember where God brought me from and where I would have been if God had not saved me. And I look at that, and I say, where would my children be? What condition would they be in if I was not saved by God's mercy? It ain't nothing that I've done. I just thank him because he called me and saved me and made a difference in my life and in my family. I was sitting there, I told my wife, and I got this early in the morning. As our brother Clement was preaching, I want to bring my family here. I want to come here one day. All my daughters, my sons, their husbands, my grandchildren. There won't be enough room here. There won't be enough room. And if I could bring all my brothers and my sisters and their children, we will need to rent another place or push the wall back. My immediate family is big, but I want to come with them just one time so that they could see God's glory, that they could feel God's presence, and that you are able to see what God has done. It ain't about how big my church might be, or how many congregations I pastor, or how much work I do. It's about what God has done to my family, to my children, to my grandchildren, how He has kept them through all the hard times in the Bronx, in the South Bronx, where the gangs and the drugs and everything was there, and rapes and everything, and they walked through there because God promised me in His mercy that He will keep them the same way He kept Noah's children in the midst of all the corruption there, of all the demons, of all the homosexuality that are there. Hey, when God promised you something, you could write it down and go, because they're going to be. God is real. I don't understand. Sometimes, and I keep on telling my church that, I have bad habits. Sometimes my wife don't even understand, and she don't know. I got very bad habits. Sometimes she tell me, oh, you got to take it easy, and you got to go in the temple a little bit more. She don't know that. Sometimes I walk into my temple, and from the door, I start anointing my door all the way into every chair and everything that is there. And sometimes I get down on the floor, and I crawl on the floor, and I say, Lord, cleanse this floor. That when the people come in, Your presence is here. And someone may come in and they may think that I'm crazy. But that is my family that is coming in there. And they're not coming in to be whipped, to be hurt. They're coming in there to be set free in the name of Jesus. They're not coming in there so I could rob their $2 and take their 2 pennies. And then they can't pay the rent. They're coming in there to be set free so that they could be messengers of the gospel. Tearing down the strongholds of the enemy. When you and I are strong in the Lord, we don't have to continuously be disciplining somebody. Exhortation here, exhortation there. And people come in full of hurt, and they leave the same way. You come in, you pray for 20 years, and nothing happens. After they're praying 20 years, you make the church, oh, we're going to have a revival of prayer. A month praying, and nothing happens. There's something wrong with that picture. And the people are leaving in the same condition, and crying, and your office is full. You got to ride from here to the corner, and wondering what's going on. You know what's going on? We forget to teach them how to know their Father. Jesus pointed us to the Father all the time. Why? Because He was in a human body. And the glory came from there. That's why He said, call no one Father, but our Father who is in heaven. He never pointed to Himself, even though that He had the power, the authority over all the principalities of hell. But He always pointed to the Father. But then He said, I do my Father's will. And all we got to learn to do is do His will. You see, the Word of God does not change. The law is still there because God has laws and regulations that we have to follow. Break the laws of nature and walk around without umbrellas and without galoshes and you see what's going to happen to you. Walk around without coats and see what's going to happen to you. Break the laws. You're going to die before your time. But when we have the power and the knowledge of God. Let me tell you, because I'm sorry. I didn't come to preach, actually. Forgive me. I just get carried away. You got something in your hands. You have many things in your hands. They're under the control of your hands. When you're driving your car, you're in control of that car. God gave you knowledge to drive that car properly. And the more you practice and learn, you drive it better and better every day. And the more you use those mirrors on it, you're able to save yourself from other problems that come around you that you may not even be aware. I like using my mirrors because when I was young, I had to use my mirrors all the time to make sure nobody was following me, make sure the cops wasn't not behind me. So I'd be watching, looking at those mirrors, and I love watching those two side mirrors, especially that middle one. I'd be looking at it. If I see that car coming too close or a couple of blocks away, I make a different turn. You know, and then I watch and see, and I slow down. I want to see what's going on behind me. You got to have mirrors, your spiritual mirrors on, so you can see that enemy. As He's coming, God has given you the greatest sense of the Holy Spirit that He shows you everything around you. It always amazes me how the cowboy movies and the cowboys were in Texas, right? This part of Texas?
No, Arkansas.
Arkansas, okay. But there are Texans here, right?
Yeah.
There's some cowboys here? Oh, okay. Well, look at that. All right. And it amazes me how they would be riding on a horse and there'd be an Indian all the way up in the mountain and they could feel them looking down at them. And then there's an Indian up there. And some would say, yeah, I could smell him. Those senses were sharp. Well, when the Holy Spirit is there, He tells you, that smelly demon is there around the corner. And He starts to prepare you. Don't wait till the last moment to be prepared. You got to be prayed up so that you know what you're going to do. And you know, they have different manifestations. You know that? Some of them are wrestlers. That's why Paul said we don't wrestle against Principality, we wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities. They'll wrestle this. They'll wrestle you to the ground. You are able to learn how to wrestle. You know, I was talking to Chip, God bless him. I had a good time talking to him. He's a warrior. He's a warrior for God. And he said that he was a wrestling instructor. And I said, oh, okay. No wonder he knows how to wrestle with them. And I remember when I was in school, and I took martial arts, and I had to rebuke that spirit out, because it is a spirit. But at the same time, it taught me how to fight and how to wrestle against those spirits. Because they give you got to train. You see, people don't want to train. And in God, you got to train. You got to be able to pray up. You got to be able to fast. That's your training. So when the war time comes and the time to wrestle, you're ready. But many people, they're ready to wrestle, but they're so heavy. They haven't prayed up and exercised. You know, before you go to war, they train you. I remember when I was in basic training, I'd be running every place. And then run here and run there and keep your rifle handy. And you sleep with your rifle and you make sure that rifle is clean. And that is better than your wife. That is your protector. And this is my rifle, the Word of God. And I got to know how to use it. They gave me an M16. And I was able to break that up and put it together. And ready to fire. I was an expert. I was ready to shoot Joe Shane. I'm ready to shoot the enemy. You are warriors. You got to be prepared for every moment. And you know, every place you go, there are territorial demons that could be around your house. They could be around your school. They could be around your church. And you got to take control of them. I have had the experience by the grace of God to be able to anoint the surroundings of my church. And one day I act crazy. Because where I minister and where we live, we have 55,000 residents. Is that correct? And we have how many apartments? 15,301 and 72 apartments without counting the townhouses. That's a city within a city. Is that true? No, that's just Co-op City without counting the Bronx. One day God told me, tell the people. And I went and I got a whole bunch of bottles of oil. The power ain't in the oil. And the oil, the power's in the faith. And they say, you know, there's a, you ever heard, I don't know if they have them here, but the Goja products. They have Goja here? Goja product, Goja beans, Goja oil and all the... Yeah, Goja. Okay? So, I went and bought a box of Goja oil. And I fasted. And I prayed. And I asked my people to come and I gave them a bottle each. You know, some ministers sell it to make some money because you get some money, you know. It's a gimmick. And it becomes a blasphemy in the presence of God. And I said to them, you know what? Take this oil. And you're going to fast over this oil also. And you're going to use this oil by faith to anoint your home and anoint your children. And every day that they go to see, you go in and anoint them. And you tell them, Lord, they need wisdom. I demand it. Jesus' name for them. And they started to be anointed. You know, God started bring them up in their education. African Americans and Hispanic, because my church, I have Spanish church in the morning, and at 1 o'clock I have an English church. God started to do that. But then I also told them, this is, go preach. Take the oil. I think he has the same gimmick I have. But the Bible says to anoint with oil. And we are trusting in what the Word of God says in the natural. So I told them, when you go into your building, take a little bit and drop it in the elevator. And claim the blood of Christ. And told the spirits to leave in the name of Jesus. When you go by your school, anoint them. So I had about 50, 60 people going around the community dropping oil all over the place. And it becomes like fire. So when the drug addicts and the gang leaders and everybody go walking by, they're jumping. Because there's fire on the floor. Because the spirits can't take the presence of God. Once you dedicate something to God, they can't touch it. And we started to see a change. How God started to move and started to break. And more churches started to come into Co-op City. Now we got in Co-op City over 40 churches in Co-op City. Of all denominations. And people say, that's too many. I pray that we get another 100 in there. Because the more churches, the less bars. The more churches, more people serving the Lord. Amen. Even if there's 2 or 3 in each congregation, it makes me no difference. But at least there's something right going on in the community. We need to be able to understand. Preach is to bring the gospel. The good news. The good news that the doors of hell cannot prevail against us. But I went back to preaching, you see. Today is a bad day for me. But I just want to encourage you. These meetings are fantastic to train us. But now we have to put it into practice. So that when we come back, we could come back with new people. People that need to know this, to understand it.
And you are the vessel that God is using so that we can make a difference. That the next time we come back together, there will not be here 200 people, there will be 1,000. Because each one of us will bring another person. And you could tell that other person, bring one more. And you're going to see how hard it is to bring one person to the Lord. Don't bring yourself. You're already saved by faith. You already know what you're doing. Touch somebody else. Give it to someone else. Shake somebody's hand with the power of God. The kingdom of God is in your hands. Not in the pastor's hand, it's in your hands. Because you are able to touch somebody else. Let somebody else know how God has given you victory. There are problems. Even good families go through problems. All the great people in the scriptures, they went through problems. They were attacked. But they went on and they brought somebody else. Each and every one of us. Stop being a Christian. Stop being a Jew. Stop being a Muslim. And stop being God's servant. Know who your Messiah is. Your Savior. That is Christ. You see, they label us Christians. But Christ said that He is the Savior. The Savior of the world. And we are called Christian because there is a Christ, a Savior that lives in us to save others. And He is the one that manifests His glory. And what do we want to be like? We want to be like Him. Filled of love. No greater love has any man that lays his life down for his fellow man. Not criticizing them. Knowing that they're in bondage. And here we're, heal the sick. Clean the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. You don't have to beg or ask them to give you anything. God's going to give you everything you need. Why? Because He is our hope of glory. I don't think I ever preach a message on tithing in my church. And neither the church I have pastored in 37 years. I teach about it, but I never preach about it. And I don't know anyone anything ever. God has always supplied our needs according to His richness and glory. I don't collect offerings in my church, only Sundays. I don't advise everybody else to do that. I really don't. I do it because God told me to do that. And the Lord has always supplied. Instead of leaving me $3, they leave me $5 on Sunday. They leave me $10. They leave me $20. God sends people to bring. Why? Because I obeyed God. I'm not telling every other minister or every other person to do the same thing. No, you have to work in the area in the way God has told you to work. God spoke to me when I opened up my house of worship in Co-op City. That house was full. And my ministers were there. And we had about 20 ministers that were in the pulpit. And I had food for everybody. And I'm praying. And I heard the voice of the Lord says, don't even collect an offering today. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I said, I got about $3,000 there. You know, easily. And I'm looking. And I go back to pray. And I heard the word again. Do not collect an offering. So I stood praying. And I told one of the ministers, listen, we're just going to close the service and we're going to go eat. Don't even collect an offering. He said, what, are you crazy? I could make a killing here today. There's a new church and we're going to be blessed in that area. I said, please don't. He says to me, what, are you crazy again? And I looked at him and I said, I think I am. But leave it in God's hands. Believe it or not, my brothers and sisters. I didn't collect an offering. Everybody ate free. And God, the following day, people were bringing money to the church. Jewish people that were not members of my church, bringing money and putting money on my altar. People would come by with checks and leave it. Boom. And I said, wow. I said, this is a good thing. God paid for everything. Amen. Oh, okay. And then I'm there 5 years in that area, and God gave me a prophecy. I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, but I walk among them. Because every time that God has told me something, it has come to pass. And she said, cheers. 5 years after, I had the small place where you saw where we have the after-school program and the drug addiction program that we have there. I had said that we were going to move out of there in 5 years. Co-op City is hard to get any place because you got to go to board of directors. And they got to approve it. Some are Jews, Italian, Black, and Puerto Rico. 15 board members that never agree on anything. Never. Always a fight. And one of my friends, because I used to work there, met him and said, Angel, why don't you take the hip center that used to be the old Catholic church there, and they turn it into a hip center. Why don't you take that? I said, I can't afford that. They wanted $20,000. I said, I can't afford that. He said, no, you should apply because everybody likes you. And I said, yeah. I said, no. He talked me into it, and we applied. Well, do you believe that all 15 board members, they agreed? All of them. And I said, how much are they going to charge me? He said, $4,000. I said, yeah. And then I said, okay, we take it over. She has a good habit of writing everything down that goes by. I can't say anything because she writes everything down. And there it was written. I said it in September. 5 years later, September, we're getting the place. And as she said about the chairs, we needed about $350,000 to be able to fix it all up. Because they had turned it into, so they had different orphans. We had to gut everything out. Do you believe that God sent carpenters, sheetrockers, electricians, ceilings, and I didn't have to pay for anything? Italians, Hispanics, Mexicans. And they came with all the things that were needed to be put into the place. I went to pay the electrician just for doing the little work that he done. And he said, no, I can't take no money. Here's $400. He paid me. He paid us. Why? Because God is the provider. And then we're in prayer, and I say, wow, we got little chairs, and we had in the other place, and said, we need chairs. How many chairs? We needed 250 chairs. So we said, okay. I tell her, order the chairs by faith. So we start to pray and have services. I'm not begging God, because God didn't ask me to beg him, but I'm believing in God. A lady, what was her last name? Sylvia. She came. She hadn't come to church for 3 years, right? 2 years? Okay. See, remember me. I'm old. You know, she's young. For a year, she hadn't come to church. She worked for transit. And then she was saving all her tithes. She hadn't been to church because she works nights. One day, we send her the invitation that we will open up the new church. And there she comes to church. She took off from her job and came to church. She puts an envelope that big in there. All checks in there. And they call me into the office. 52 checks. One for every week. Okay, see? She has it down pat. And she comes in there. I thought she was crazy. Well, how much money was it? $7,000? Come say that over here.
So that's the full price of the chair. $3,500?
And I have weird things that I do. I questioned her. I brought her into the office with the deacons. And I was making sure that she was of sound mind. Yeah? Because I don't want no one coming and suing me and telling me that I took advantage of somebody. So I'm talking to her, and she said, no, because I was saving the tithe to make sure to bring him in. I was able to come, and I brought them. So I said, okay. Prayed for him, blessed, and gave him a big hug. The following day, I went to the bank, and I asked the bank president, because I knew him. I said, is there money enough for that here? And he said, yeah, let me check. Yeah, there's enough money and more. And then he said, but there are some checks that are too old. She has to bring new checks. And I said, I'm going to start that lady to bring me new checks. So I called her up anyway, and she went. She brought me one check, cover all the other checks. But you believe when the chairs came in, we had the money and some left over to give a tip to the driver. Because people don't like to tip somebody. You know, the people work hard sometimes. He was saying it yesterday. People work hard, and sometimes we got to be considerate of someone else so that God can have mercy upon us. We got to learn to give in order to receive. Preach with love. Break the strong back of the devil in the name of Jesus by seeing someone that is on the floor hungry, and feed them and don't pray for them. And after you feed them, then you pray for them. And you know what you do? You destroy the demon of poverty and hunger. You don't talk about it. You destroy it in the name of Jesus. Someone needs a coat. When I'm naked, clothe me. You destroy the spirit and the demon of nakedness, of having nothing, of poverty, because you have the power and the authority to do that. Not to criticize and to pray when you have to help somebody. Let me finish up here. I apologize. I really don't, but it sounds good, right? That we are able to apologize. And let me go straight over here, because I want to finish up. It's her fault, McGee's fault, or got to be somebody's fault. Yeah. Someone got to take the blame here. All right. Yeah, I'm going to put it on someone, even though, so that way I could rest a little. Oh, okay, so. So now you got to figure that you're my daughter, okay? I got all those daughters, so I got to blame my oldest daughter. Here's what happens when the Spirit of God is in us. It is important for us to continuously cast out demons and put them to flee. When the Holy Spirit of God is in you, He speaks to you, teaches you. One of the greatest things that He does in your life, in your spirit life, is what she finished with in her service. At first I was looking at Jim when he started yesterday. I said, I got to change it a little, because he started with my verse, and then she dares to end with my verses. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. You got to have love. Love overcomes the powers of Satan. You got to love God over all the things. You got to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That you're willing to lay your life down for them.
And that love that you have makes you want to know more about the Word, so that the Word of God may be powerful enough to chase away every spirit. Sometimes you don't need to say words to cast a demon out. All you need to do is hold somebody in love. Grab them in the love of God, and you're going to feel the power of God that's going to set the captives free. What sets you free is God one day embraced you. And when He embraced you, the devil couldn't touch you. He grabbed you and put you in His love. And He says, stand back. This is my child. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. When that glory of God is in you, it's not only for you. It's for everyone you meet in your journey through life to set them free. Then He gives you joy. Because without joy, there's no salvation. Joy gives you confidence. It gives you hope. It gives you power. The joy of the Spirit. Then when you have joy, it gives you peace. You know what peace does? It allows you to stand peaceful knowing God's glory is there with you. It doesn't imply fear. It implies that you are confident because you're at peace. When you're at peace, man, no one could stop you. No one could bother you. No one could hurt you. You're at peace. You know what they used to tell us in the martial arts? I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Have to rebuke it because it is. They told you to meditate and relax. Be at peace with yourself and be one with yourself. When I'm fighting against the enemy, I'm at peace with myself. I'm watching his steps. And I'm saying, glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why? Because he is my war hero. No other demon. I rebuke him in the name of the Lord. Because there's no one that could take my Jesus. He took the crown. And you got to be at peace. When you're at peace, you're secure in what you believe and in what you trust. The moment that you're not, you're doubting God. And you're not living in faith. And when doubt comes in, the enemy has a stronghold. He is going to knock it down. You cannot doubt a moment. And you see, Jim said something yesterday. He walked out. I saw him get up and walked out and left the room. And he said, is that easy? He said it last night. And that's what I learned. I learned to rebuke the enemy as soon as I hear something. When I wake up in the morning, if I get a thought, whether a thought is good or bad, I rebuke it in the morning in the name of the Lord. Why? Because dreams have a way grabbing you and making you think other things. And it destroys your strength. When you rebuke them, they can't. And here, I'll show you how that works. Long suffering. We got to suffer something. But we are suffering with hope. I know that it's going to be okay. You know what that long suffering means? Resist. Obey. Hold on to God. Don't allow nothing to shake you. You know how many times the enemy has tried to shake my foundation? The only reason he hasn't been able to do it is because I believe and trust in that word. I lost children. I had never lost any children. I lost 2 grandchildren. And you know when he done that? The first time I went to Beaumont, I went back home. A granddaughter, 7 years old, never was sick a day in her life. 7, that she was able to sing, preach the word of God. My youngest daughters, one of my younger daughters, before her little daughter. She has such a talent, such a gift that when people were bothering, matrimony were bothering the church, and she will go and grab the man's hand and the woman's hand and she will pray with them. And then she will start singing. God was blessing her. Her name was Abigail. It's because she's alive. She's alive in the presence of God. And my younger daughters, they started pastoring the enemy them in that area. And the Lord had told me. And the enemy tried to tell me, I'm going to take your children if you keep on. Your grandchildren. And you know what I said? God gives, God takes. The name of the Lord be blessed. Why? Because when God takes something, see, the devil can't take nothing. God takes it no matter which way. You know what grew up out of that? She got a ministry. Children for mothers and families that have gone through this tragic moment. The Abigail ministry. And she goes and they preach every month. Every first Saturday of the month and last Saturday of the month. They have a service. Young people from all over come. They fill churches all over the place. And they testify and they preach the word of God. So that child is still alive. When I came back and went back home, I lost my grandson. He was 13 years old, but he was born with a defective heart. They only gave him 9 months to live. My oldest daughters, remember, my youngest, one of my youngest, and my oldest, her third child. And I went back and I also heard that voice. But you know, the doctor said that he wouldn't be able to make it, that he was going to only live for 9 months. But he lived for 13 years. They said he would never walk, but he walked. They said he would never talk. He didn't only talk, he screamed. He preached, he sang. He glorified God. He was in an oxygen tank 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And she dealt with that. He had an over enlarged heart. One chamber they had to operate. They couldn't give him a heart. His kidneys were gone. His lungs were gone. His heart was triple the size, the liver and everything. And he was in a lot of pain living that way. But he would go to the church and he would play the bongos. And he was that small because he didn't grow anymore. Never ever had anybody in my family go through something like that. But the enemy was trying to stop her also. They got a church here in Houston and they got another church in Yonkers. And you know what? I said one day, Father, forgive me. But it hurts my spirit because I will never be able to play basketball with my grandchildren. Because I play basketball with my grandchildren, and they say I cheat because I'm good. Yeah? And he comes, and one day I'm in the house, we're in the house, and put my hand like that. And he grabbed the ball, basketball, little basketball, and he threw it. And I said, Lord, thank you because you allowed me to play basketball with my grandson. God is good, ain't he? He is a wonderful God. You see, and he is in heaven right now. He's alive. Why? Because I will dwell in the house of the Lord. For how long? Forever. And if I'm dwelling somewhere, can I be dead? No. Because for us, we are living beings. We live forever in the name of the Lord. God is a God of the living. He is a wonderful God. Nothing can destroy your faith in the Lord. That is our God. He's not a religion or denomination. I thank God he ain't Puerto Rican. Amen. Amen. The God of all flesh. He's a gentle God. He's a good God. And let me rush it. And there's faith. Because without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible. Please God. For we know him that has saved us. His name is what? He is your Savior. And let us consider one other proverb that the Lord gives us. And it's highly important for you. And I just want you to pick up your hands. And the Word of God says, holy hands unto the Lord. Holy hands have power, have authority. They're not there to hurt. They're there to console, to heal. When you have an illness or anything bothers you, place your hands upon the place that ails you. Your heart, your eyes, your head. If you're hearing voices, place them on your head and your ears and tell them to go in the name of the Lord. Don't listen. Don't continue to have a conversation with them. Use holy hands unto the Lord because that's where your power is at. Allow your hands, because when you're in pain, you will lift your head, oh, Lord, help me. But when you're happy, you will raise up those same hands and say, glory to God. Learn to use the hands for the glory and honor of God. That is your proverb. The proverb is that there is power in you. You don't have to look for anybody else. Look to the Lord and to yourself. And you will see that you will become a warrior. And every day, you'll learn to sharp that eye and that sword. Read the Word. Study the Word to find yourself approved. Confide promises that God has there. Believe no man. Trust in God. Everyone that speaks to you, whether myself or whoever, examine it to make sure that it is God's Word. Amen. And last, when someone prays for you, pray for yourself as they're praying for you. Rebuke the heirs, because we don't know who's imparting whatever to you. There's a lot of falseness going on. Look, I allow ministers to pray for me. But I'm praying too, and I say, Lord, if this is not yours, I rebuke it in the blessed name of Jesus. I'm not doubting the man of God. I'm just asking the Lord to protect me at that particular moment. And it's very rare that I get up. I got up here because I felt his prayer. I felt Chip's prayer, Jim's, and everyone that is here. I mean, like a father, I take him as a father since I met him. The glory be to God. The words that have been brought forward, I was having a battle trying to figure out, Lord, which way do I go? What do I do? Because the message was so beautiful today, everything. We've been blessed. God's presence is here. And what's going to happen here in the next couple of years is going to be incredible. I ask you to tell somebody to come with you next time. Not to play church, but to know God. And to allow God's Spirit to move freely. Because the church ain't going to heaven. You are. You are the church. And if the church doesn't stop playing around, they're not going nowhere. Because the battle is going to start because God got to clean us up. We got a lot of mess. We like to talk so much about other people and other people's children. We have a tongue that criticizes everybody. When you see something negative and something bad, stop praying against the bad and not the person. If that didn't happen to me, I'd be in jail right now. You know what saved me again? God's mercy. I wasn't a good kid. I don't let my children know that too much. So I got to call my daughter's ears. But God has blessed them. Why? Because I pray for them. And I thank God that all of them were born in the Lord. But you know, I thank God that God saved me. I used to make my own guns with an antenna. You know them big crazy guns that they used to build and sell before at a chamber? I used to get an antenna, cut it, put that antenna in there, get a .22, tape it up, and I would use that because I couldn't afford a gun. Especially in the city, it was hard to get one. And it was dangerous every place you went. When I went into the service, I said, wow, this is a real gun? This is good. Yeah? But this is what God does. The leader of the gang of the Royal Knights and the Suicide, when Nicky Cruz was in the area at that particular time also, that we all got saved and brought out of that, was a young man named Gene Diaz. You know what his name is today? Reverend Gene Diaz. He traveled all the way around the world preaching, bringing the gospel. That boy was bad. I mean, that boy drank so much gin that he used to fall back. He would fight with the cops, with anybody. He didn't care who it was. He was crazy. And his mother was a holy woman of God. Or is a holy woman of God. Because she's a member of my church now. She used to pull my ear when I was a little kid. And here I am, 64 years old, she's still pulling my ear. But she was a praying woman and praying for us. We were so bad that one day we beat his father an inch of his life. Or his stepfather. Because he was an abuser. He abused his wife and beat her. And we came home to his house and we were a little, what can I say? A little, okay, we'll use that word. You know, flying low. And we walk in and that man was snatching her. We snatched that big man, boy. We put a hurting on him that I still got to repent from it. I still got to ask God, forgive me. But he never put his hand on her again. That devil went out. I didn't know how to pray at that time, but we know how to put a hurting. You see? And realities, it's important for us to be real with our family, with our children. Especially those of us that have family and children that know the Lord. They've been brought up in the church. Don't worry. Pray and ask God to help them, to bring them out of whatever they're in. Because I guarantee you, they're going to be an instrument. Those are the ones that God is going to use. Because he needs people that are daring. See, God saved me because I was crazy. And I'm still crazy. We break that curse? I know, I like that curse. If that's the curse, I like it because the Lord said that I'm saved by the foolishness of the gospel. And Paul said, tolerate my madness. And we were all a little crazy. But let me lock it up. I'm trying to lock it up, but it's just that there's something here that God is feeding us. There's something here for each and every one of us. I said that the other day upstairs, I have a son. Well, he's a good looking son. The ladies are crazy about him. I gotta pray for him and make him ugly. You know, put an ugly prayer on that boy. Michael may be armed and look good and he puts that hair back and every place he goes, young ladies, old ladies, everybody loves him. And I had to pray for that boy because you know how it is, you men, if you don't have God and he's 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And I had to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, break that in the name of Jesus. Why? Because that's a demon. And we like that demon. I rebuke him in the name of Jesus, don't we? Because everybody wants somebody to love him, right? Even some people want two or three people to love him. But, you know, that's against the law. That's against the word of God. Let's be real. God is in the business of helping us. Is that true? Is that true?
Yes, he is.
That is the battle that we have in the flesh. Sometimes the flesh is worse than the enemy itself. I rebuke him in the name of the Lord. Now I had to pray. Now he's every place he goes, now he's testifying about God. He sits with everybody and talks about God. No matter where, he's in a park. He's a painter. He's making a lot of money. He got houses. And I said, look at this boy. And you know, because he's a painter and he's picking up bags of plaster and things, he got those beautiful arms like his father. See? You know, that boy. But today, he's testifying about the kingdom of God. He realizes that there's nothing else but Jesus. So don't give up on him. Don't ever give up on him. Because if my mother and somebody had given up on me, where would I be today? Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me. Did somebody pray for you?
Yes.
We're going to pray now. And I'm going to help you to pray for yourself. Because I don't want to get calluses on my hand praying for you. I want you to get a couple of calluses on your hand. Laying hands on yourself. Because you know yourself and you love yourself. And don't be afraid about the mistakes and everything that we go through. Because God is a loving God. He's a wonderful God. And he forgives our sins when you repent. And he will lift you up. And now, if someone that you have lost and have gone to be with the Lord, use the promise of God. Blind yourself to everything else. Believe in the Lord thy God and you and your household shall be saved. At that last moment, that person, that the seed was planted in there. And I said, oh, Father, forgive me. And that's that crew, that man on the cross. There to believe in God and not in doctrine. There to trust. Don't say anything to anybody. Don't say, he's saved, he's not saved. Dare to say, I trust in my Heavenly Father. I trust in His Word and in His mercy. that my seed got to be saved in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Trust. God will do it. God will do it.
Yes, Lord.
And I'm trying to finish, but there was this lady that her son was put on the electric chair. One of the first ones to be sat on the electric chair. And she prayed and prayed and prayed. And she said, what about my son? What about my son, Lord? Lord, you promised me that you were going to save him. And she cried. And the day before she was going to be home, go home with the Lord gave her a revelation that he had been saved and that he was sitting in high places in the presence of God. And she told the family and they didn't believe her, but she went home. And I guarantee you that she saw him there. Why? Because at that last moment, there was a minister walking down with him. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And he accepted the master at that moment. It ain't about this life. It's about the life that we're going to have in the very near future. Trust in God that he came to set the captives free. Touch yourself with your hand wherever you want to touch yourself. Father God, we trust, Lord God, right now in complete deliverance, Lord. It's not about us touching, Lord God. It's about you touching us all. Lord, it's about your Holy Spirit, Lord, and our faith being put into action, Lord. We dare to believe and to trust, oh Lord God, that there is no power in hell that could touch us, Lord, that could take us down. I come against every principality, every spirit of sickness and disease and destruction that has ever come and moved upon the face of earth. I come against you in the name of he that came in the flesh, named Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the name of he that died for us and resurrected and sits at the right hand of God and is coming back again. I command you to get out. Be thou God and be the blessings of the Lord upon our lives, upon our homes, upon our children, upon our finances right now in Jesus' name. We trust and believe in the touch of God. In the touch of God. Let him touch you right now. Just take a couple of seconds right there and dare to believe. Dare to trust. That is nobody else but God. It is him. He is the one that heals. He is the one that touches you. He is the one that takes away all your pain. He is the one that takes away all your suffering. That spirit of suicide. They got to go. In the name of Jesus, nothing can touch you by any means. Because God is with you. Dare to believe and trust right now. In the name of Jesus. There are spirits of poverty and hurt here. And they don't belong there. You are not of poverty. You are rich in the Lord. And you may not have plenty, but you will have enough. But when God gives you the richness that you need, help somebody. Bless somebody. Don't be foolish and just give it away to anybody. Don't let people manipulate you. Right now, in the name of the Lord, let that Spirit of God move in your life and guide you. You are blessed. You are blessed. Not because I bless you, but because God has blessed us. And your faith is sufficient. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.